نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تلك الرسل فضلنا بعضهم على بعض، منهم من كلم الله ورفع بعضهم درجات، وآتينا عيسى ابن مريم البينات وأيدناه بروح القدس. ولو شاء الله ما اقتتل الذين من بعدهم من بعد ما جاءتهم البينات، ولكن اختلفوا فمنهم من آمن ومنهم من كفر. ولو شاء الله ما اقتتلوا ولكن الله يفعل ما يريد. Those messengers, we preferred some of them to others. To some of them Allah spoke directly, others He raised to degrees of honor. And to Isa, the son of Maryam, we gave clear proofs and evidences and supported him with Jibreel. If Allah had willed, succeeding generations would not have fought against each other after the clear verses of Allah had come to them, but they deferred. Some of them believed and others disbelieved. If Allah had willed, they would not have fought against one another, but Allah does what He likes. Now yesterday, the concluding ayat that we read was, "These are the verses of Allah, we recite them to you in truth, and surely you are one of the messengers of Allah." Now after mentioning the Prophet ﷺ's status, Allah reminds us that all the Prophets have an honorable rank with Allah. It is not for us to pass judgments against any Prophet or to make disparaging comparisons between any of them. The Prophet ﷺ said, "La tufaddilu bayna anbiya'illah." Do not make comparisons between the Prophets of Allah. Last is, these were the messengers, we preferred some of them to others. To some of them Allah spoke directly, as to Musa alayhi salam, as to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to others He raised to degrees of honor. Different Prophets were given different gifts. And to Isa the son of Maryam, we gave clear proofs and evidences and supported him with Jibreel alayhi salam. In other words, they all have a status with Allah. We have been told our response should be, لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. We do not discriminate against any one of the Prophets. Allah says, all these Prophets that came to mankind, yet still mankind is in disharmony. Still mankind fights about who is on the right path. If Allah had willed, succeeding generations would not have fought against one another. After the clear verses of Allah had come to them, like some people, their objection against religion is, oh, religion breeds fighting. You know, religion breeds violence, and when people become religious, then they start hating people. Allah says religion is not the cause of fighting amongst mankind. If Allah had willed, succeeding generations would not have fought against each other. In other words, this was not Allah's responsibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have forced all of mankind to live in harmony, but that is the purpose of free will that Allah has granted all of us. If you think about it, when Adam alayhi salam was in Jannah, wouldn't it have been simple for Allah not to have placed that forbidden tree there? Or wouldn't it have been simple enough for Allah to warn Adam alayhi salam when Shaitan was actually tempting him at that point in time, for Allah to tell Adam alayhi salam, don't listen to him right now? But that was the test of obedience. Allah has granted all of us free will. The choice is ours. If we wish, we can obey Allah. And if we wish, we can disobey Him. But they deferred. Some of them believed and others disbelieved. That has been the whole pattern of mankind. Some are believers and some go on rejecting. If Allah had willed, they would not have fought against one another. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ. But Allah does what He wishes. This was Allah's decision to grant us all free will, because that made the true test. Otherwise, if we'd just been programmed for obedience like the angels, then where was the test if we didn't even feel like sinning? The true test is, as Allah tells us in Surah Shams, وَنَفْسِي وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah created the human soul and He placed within that soul a measure of evil and a measure of goodness. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. The one who purifies his soul, he has succeeded. He has passed the test. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And the one who stunts his soul, the one who suppresses his soul, who suppresses his potential for goodness, he is the one who has failed that test. And Allah does what He likes. Now the discourse turns to spending, because spending is one of the most important means by which we prove our iman. One of the scholars once said, iman without infaq is nifaq. Iman without spending is hypocrisy. It's just talk otherwise. It's easy for me to talk about Islam. But unless I'm actually making some sacrifice, I'm actually giving something up, I'm not proving my love for Allah. Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who have iman. It was one of the companions who once said, when I hear Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, I become alert, I become attentive, because I know Allah is telling me something very important for me. You know, like sometimes when you're talking to someone and when you wish to emphasize a point, you repeat their name to make sure you've captured their attention. We hear someone call out a name and we instinctively turn and look around. Instinctively we become alert. What is it? What are they saying to me? Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who have iman, who claim to be Muslims, listen to this. Anfiqu mimma razaqnakum, spend from that which we have provided you. People say, my wealth, my money, my bank accounts, my clothes, my shoes. Allah says, don't forget the source of all these blessings is Allah Rabbul Alameen. Mimma razaqnakum, from that which we have provided you. You weren't born with this wealth. And if you were, it was Allah who granted you that wealth. Why should we spend from that? It's so difficult to spend. It's so difficult to part with anything you love. Min qabli an ya'tiya yawm, before that day comes. La bay'un fihi, wa la khulla, wa la shafa'a, when there will be no bargaining, no friendship, no intercession. In this life, we get into trouble, we call up our friends, we make a deal, we bribe the police, we pull strings, we use our influential connections, and we get off the hook. Allah says, on that day, you will have no such worldly props. وَالْكَافِرُونَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ, and the disbelievers, they are the wrongdoers. Who are the kafirun over here? The Muslims are being addressed. Those who reject this concept of spending. Those who spurn the idea that they should have to sacrifice any part of their wealth or other blessings on Allah's creation. And now we come to Ayatul Kursi. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. Ayatul Kursi has been described as the most sublime ayat in the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once asked a companion, Ubay bin Ka'b, which is the most sublime ayat in the Quran? And he responded, Ayatul Kursi. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you are to be congratulated upon your knowledge. It's been likened to a quarter of the Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said once, the gist of which was, whoever reads Ayatul Kursi after each farz salat will be granted a tongue that remembers Allah, a heart that thanks Allah, and a reward like that of the prophets and the truthful ones. For only such people can be constant in reading it after every farz salat. And if you think about it, sometimes we remember and sometimes we forget. If we're in a rush, we'll forget the Ayatul Kursi. But we should constantly adhere in reciting it. So why is this so special? Why is it the most sublime ayat in the Quran? It's about Allah. Allah is telling us about Himself. This is the first detailed introduction we're getting about Allah after Fatiha. Allah says, Allahu la ilaha illahu. The most basic, the most fundamental truth. There is no God but He. Ilahun is a beautiful word. It comes from the letters Aliha. Aliha means to astonish. So Ilahun is that being which does astonishing feats, unparalleled, unprecedented things. And that is description of Allah. Badi'u samawati wal ard, originator of the heavens and the earth. He created the heavens and the earth. He didn't have a role model before Him. All these things He brought into existence from nothingness. La ilaha illahu. Thus it follows naturally that He alone is worthy of being worshipped. What is worship? Just reading salat and fasting in Ramzan? No, worship means obedience. Al hayyul qayyum. Now if you think about it, why has Allah said Al-Hayyul Qayyum here? Why not Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim? Because Al-Hayyul Qayyum are His most magnificent attributes. Attributes in which none but He share. Al-Hayy, the Eternal. Kullu man alayha fan. All that is on this earth is temporary. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Only the being of your Lord will remain, full of majesty, full of dignity. Al-Qayyum, the ever-sustaining. It is Allah's mercy upon us that He's nourishing us, nurturing us, spiritually, physically, morally, every second of the day. We couldn't take a breath, were it not that Allah allows us to take that breath. And Al-Hayyul Qayyum have been called those of Allah's names, which when you call Him by these names, He always responds. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. No slumber or sleep overtakes Him. We read that Allah is sustaining everything in the universe, and instinctively we think to ourselves, doesn't He get tired? Doesn't He feel sleepy? Maybe there's a moment when He is not watching. Like a scholar once said, if you want to sin, go find a place where Allah cannot see you. Allah is reminding us neither slumber nor sleep overtakes Him. He's watching us every second of the day and night. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. To Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. He's not just this remote God who's watching us. He controls, He owns everything on this universe. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. This is a very important concept. Who is it that can intercede with Allah except by His consent? What is intercession, shafa'at? We have a very mistaken concept of intercession. Some people say that the Prophet ﷺ will be given full authority, and they've come up with these mushrikana verses in which they say, just run to the Prophet and forget Allah and cling to his garment and he'll forgive you. And then we find those people who say, no, intercession doesn't exist and that's all nonsense. Both are wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that intercession does exist. We learn from a hadith and through the Quran that it will be granted as an honor to the prophets, to the martyrs, and certain other good people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be controlling whom this intercession is being granted for. Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ لِلَّهِ الشَّفَاعَةُ جَمِيعًا. Tell them all power of intercession belongs wholly to Allah. In other words, the prophets will only be able to intercede for those people for whom Allah allows. And if we think about it, is it fair that someone spent all his life angering Allah, disobeying Allah, cheating humans, hurting people, and that on the day of judgment, just because he runs to the Prophet ﷺ, he should be equated with a person who might have spent all his life struggling for Allah? Does that make sense? You know, if an illiterate person were to apply for a post that required a BA degree, he would just be turned away. He'd be laughed at. So Allah reminds us that yes, intercession does exist. It is an honor that will be granted to certain people. But don't be deluded into thinking that you can do what you like. You can anger Allah as much as you like because the Prophet will intercede on your behalf. We need to please Allah before the Prophet ﷺ can intercede on our behalf. Why does this intercession rest with Allah? Why is He going to decide who deserves intercession and who doesn't? It's quite simple. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. Because He alone knows all that is before them and all that is behind them. Allah alone knows our present, our past and our futures, our thoughts, our intentions and our utterances and our actions. Maliki Yawmiddin. He alone is master of the day of judgment. That's why this power rests in His hands, because He alone has full knowledge of our actions, thoughts and deeds. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِالشَّيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ. And they cannot encompass any part of His knowledge. إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. Except as much as He wills. Modern 20th century man needs to read this ayat. We who pride ourselves on our technology, on our advancements, Allah reminds us, don't flaunt your knowledge. This knowledge was granted to you by Me. Allah tells us in the Quran, مَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. You have been given but little of knowledge. You might pride yourselves on having reached the moon and having done things that your past generations were unable to achieve, but it's nothing in Allah's eyes. Do you know that there's a very famous saying by Isaac Newton, who was one of the world's most famous scientists who discovered the law of gravity, and he said something that made a lot of sense. He said once, I feel like a child playing with marbles on the shore of a vast sea. This man whom Allah had granted so much knowledge, that's how he felt about it. That should be our attitude towards knowledge. We should be trying to explore the uttermost bounds of knowledge, but never forget that it is Allah who grants us as much knowledge as He wills. 2 days ago, we started the Quran, Alif Lam Mim. None of us know what that means. We can advance theories, but we don't know for sure. Allah says, O modern man, don't become too arrogant about your knowledge. You only have as much as Allah has allowed you. وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. His kursi, His throne, encompasses the heavens and the earth. What is this kursi of Allah? It is His knowledge, His power, His authority. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the universe as compared to Allah's throne is like a ring in a vast desert. Now just imagine, we've all seen pictures of deserts. Imagine a vast desert and a tiny ring lying there. You wouldn't even be able to see it. If you drop a ring, you might have to look around before you could even find it. That's how much this entire universe is compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's throne. وَلَا يَؤُوذُهُ حِفْصُهُمَا. Again, lest you think, doesn't Allah get tired? Doesn't He find it exhausting? Maybe that's why He's got so many helpers. Allah says no. He feels no fatigue in guarding and preserving them. See, Ayatul Kursi teaches us not to judge Allah on a human level. People who love making comments about Allah, well, I don't think Allah can do this. Or I don't think Allah is going to ask me about little things like I didn't pray my salat or something. Allah is describing His unique qualities to emphasize لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, that there is none like Him. Don't make the mistake of thinking that you can judge Allah or understand Allah on a human level. وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ, and He is the Most High, the Most Exalted. Subhanallah. Truly is an awesome verse. Now Allah goes on to say, لَا إِكْرَاهَ فِي الدِّينِ, there is no compulsion in religion. قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ رُشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ, the right path has become distinct from the wrong path. Why do these verses follow the Ayatul Kursi? The link is obvious. It's beneath Allah's dignity. It's beneath Allah's glory and majesty to force anyone to believe in Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need our ibadat. We need Him. Antumul fuqara ila Allah. You're all the beggars before Allah. We are the beggars before Allah. He doesn't need us or our ibadat. So Allah says, I'm not going to force you to believe. You want to believe? I will help you. If you don't want to believe, fine, stay like that. Now there's no compulsion in religion doesn't mean that if your child is not praying, you say, oh, there's no compulsion in religion, so I'm not going to force my poor little baby. No, there's no compulsion in religion means you cannot force anyone to become a Muslim. But once we are in Islam, udkhulu fis silmi kaffa, as we all read yesterday, enter into Islam fully. I can't sit back and say, well, you know, I'll read the Quran when I feel ready to do that. I'm not going to force myself to do anything. Once we're in Islam, then we have to adhere to it fully. Otherwise, it's a mockery. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ, whoever disbelieves in Taghut and believes in Allah, فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَا انْفِصَامَ لَهَا, then he has grasped the most trustworthy handhold that will never break. وَاللَّهُ السَّمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ, and Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing. What is this Taghut that is being spoken of? Taghut is or are all those satanic forces or people that try and stop us from obeying Allah. Now, Taghut can be our friends when they say, oh, just, you know, you can get up and pray later, just let me tell you this first. Taghut can be our spouses, Taghut can be our children, Taghut can be our parents, and most importantly, we ourselves can be Taghut. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, the worst false god that is followed on earth is man's own nafs. We like to blame others, but really, the choice is ours. Allah says whoever rejects Taghut, whoever rejects the temptings of Shaitan, whether in himself or around him, and believes in Allah. Yu'min billah. Iman means action, not just talk, not just belief. And I say, oh, Allah knows my heart is pure and I'm sure He'll forgive me if I don't pray today. Iman means I act upon it. Then He has grasped the most trustworthy handhold that will never break. Is there any relationship? Is there any person in the world of whom we can say, oh, he is 100% reliable? You might have noticed that whenever you think that about someone, whether it's your parent or your spouse or your child, you'd say, she will never let me down, and Allah shows you how that person lets you down. Allah says, I will never let you down. And Allah is all hearer, all knower. Do you doubt that? Allah reassures us. Allahu waliyul ladina amanu. Allah is the protector. Allah is the friend of those who believe. Yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. He brings them out of darknesses into light. What darknesses are these? Darknesses of fear, of doubt. If I start doing hijab, I'll be regarded as a misfit. If I start praying regularly, I miss out on my sleep. Yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Emerging from darkness into light. If ever you've been in a situation where the electricity is gone and suddenly the light comes on, and that feeling of overwhelming relief that you can see the things around you, you won't stumble and fall. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, but if you don't want Allah's friendship, then what happens? And those who disbelieve, their supporters are the taghut. Then they're just running after people, they're just obsessed with their own desires, and they bring them out from light into darkness. Confusion upon confusion. Those are the dwellers of the fire, and they will live therein forever. How do we become Allah's friend? Allah said that about Ibrahim alayhi salam, didn't He? اتخذ الله إبراهيم خليلا. Allah chose Ibrahim as a friend. How do we gain Allah's friendship? From a hadith we learn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever opposes a friend of mine, I have declared war against him. That's how powerful Allah's friendship is. We seek powerful friendships in this world, we should try and seek Allah's. And Allah tells us how we can become His friends. مَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِالشَّيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ The most beloved thing whereby my slave draws near to me are by means of the farais which I have imposed upon him. The five daily prayers, our fast, hajj, all these things which are compulsory, Allah says that's the best way of drawing close to me. وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ And my slave keeps on drawing nearer to me by means of voluntary acts of worship. Not that we say, oh, I've done my farz for today and I'm just too exhausted to read Taraweeh. No. Allah says, my slave keeps on drawing closer to me by means of voluntary acts of worship. Sadaqat, nafals. حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ Until I love him. فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ Then when I love him, كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ I become his hearing whereby he hears. وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ And his vision whereby he sees. وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يُبْطِشُ بِهَا And his hand whereby he grasps. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا And his foot whereby he walks. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلَنِي And if he asks me, لَأُعْتِيَنَّهُ I will definitely give it to him. وَلَئِنْ اسْتَعَاذَنِي And if he asks my protection, لَأُعِيذَنَّهُ I will grant him that protection. This is what it means to be Allah's friend. Now Allah has taught us the ways whereby we can become His friends, and the choice is ours. Now Allah tells us three stories that illustrate a confrontation between Allah's friends and the friends of Taghut. Have you not looked at him who disputed with Ibrahim about his Lord because Allah had given him the kingdom? If you remember, I mentioned earlier that Ibrahim alayhi salam had a confrontation with the king. So that is that story being related here. When Ibrahim said to him, My Lord is he who gives life and causes death. The king said, I give life and cause death. And what he did was, he sent for two captives, he freed one and he had the other one killed. And people today also like to make foolish statements like that and think they've made a great point. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Indeed Allah brings the sun from the east, then you bring it from the west. See, this is a moment. From darkness into light. He's not fazed by the king. He's not frightened by the fact that the king's just killed a man in front of him. Calmly, with confidence, he replies, All right, if you don't understand that way, let me give you another proof. So the disbeliever was astounded. The king didn't know what to say. And Allah does not guide the people who are wrongdoers. Who was the king's taghut? His own nafs. He worshipped himself. He wanted to go on following his own desires. Allah gives us another example. Or like the one who passed by a town and it had tumbled over its roofs. He said, Oh, how will Allah ever bring it to life after its death? So Allah caused him to die for 100 years, then raised him up again. Allah said, How long did you remain dead? The man said, I remained dead a day or part of a day. Allah said, No, you have remained dead for 100 years. Look at your food and your drink, they show no change. And look at your donkey. And thus we have made of you a sign for the people. Look at the bones, how we bring them together and clothe them with flesh. فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ When this was made clear to him, قَالَ أَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ He said, I know now that Allah is able to do all things. Now we need to understand that this man was a mu'min. He didn't ask insolently or say, Oh, I don't believe that the day of judgment is ever going to come. He was genuinely wondering about it. And that's why Allah showed him. Allah took him out from the darknesses of doubt into the light of certainty. And see, this is the hallmark of a mu'min, that after being shown the truth, he doesn't say, no, I still don't accept it and I don't believe that I could have remained dead for all those years. He accepts the truth. He says, now I know that Allah is able to do all things. And now Allah gives us another example of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Khalilullah, the friend of Allah. Remember when Ibrahim said, My Lord, show me how you give life to the dead. Now again, we find that Ibrahim alayhi salam was constantly seeking higher peaks of knowledge. He was never content to just sit back and say, alright, I believe in Allah and that's it, and I've done so much for Allah and I don't need to strive anymore. He was constantly wondering about Allah, constantly exploring the secrets of the universe. So he says, Allah, show me how you give life to the dead. Allah said, do you not believe? And this too was a loving remark, not that now Allah was really doubting Ibrahim alayhi salam's iman, or Ibrahim alayhi salam had stopped believing. Allah said lovingly, Do you not believe? Ibrahim said, Yes, I believe, وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي But so that my heart may find peace. That means that if we wish to ask a question so that our iman is strengthened, we are allowed to do so. Allah said, Take 4 birds, then cause them to incline towards you. Then slaughter them, cut them into pieces, and put a portion of them on every hill. And call them, They will come to you in haste. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. And know that Allah is Almighty, All Wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Ibrahim alayhi salam that just in the same way as you will see those birds coming together and flying towards you, on the day of judgment, Allah has just to call out to us. And all our dead bodies, no matter if someone's been cremated, someone's been drowned, someone's been burnt to death, they will instantly get up and be revived in their original forms. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. And people, know that Allah is Almighty. This is not just empty words. Allah will achieve this because He has the power to do it. حَكِيمٌ, All Wise. He knows when the right time will come.